Truth Jihad Radio, right here at republicbroadcasting.org. I'm Kevin Barrett, doing this show every Saturday night, and today we're going to be taking up a topic that doesn't get much play in the mainstream media. Well, that means it's probably an important one, right? Because all the important ones get left out, and the trivial ones get brought in. Well, this important topic, it's not Ron Paul, although he is very important, and he is blacked out of the mainstream media. And it's a whole, not a whole lot of other things. What it is we're going to be talking about the way Muslims feel about 9/11 and interfaith relations and 9/11 and a whole lot of other things. Now, most folks realize that Muslims have a slightly different take on 9/11 than non-Muslims, especially here in the good old USA, where we were subjected to an assault of anti-Muslim propaganda after 9/11, blaming those attacks on Islam. It was kind of odd because of those 19 hijackers. Most of those guys didn't look to be Muslims at all. They were coke-snorting, lap dancer-fancying, pork chop-relishing, party-hardy intelligence agents who had trained at American military bases in Alabama and Florida, among other places. In other words, these were not Muslims at all, much less radical, fanatical, suicidal Muslims, as they tried to make it out in the press. Well, Muslims around the world have pretty much figured this out. They realize that the official story of 9/11 is a hoax, perhaps even a genocidal hoax, because over a million Muslims have been killed since 9/11, and it doesn't look like they're planning on stopping anytime soon. A Pew survey showed that about 60% of American Muslims don't believe that 9/11 was carried out by Arab hijackers, and roughly 80% of the world's Muslims feel the same way. For some reason, our mainstream media doesn't tell us this. I wonder why that would be. Anyway, I think that we need to have a little bit of dialogue across the worldviews and the faiths about this very important topic before this crusade jihad spins off into something irreversible. And that would be tragic for the planet as well as for the humans attempting to survive on it. That's one reason that I co-edited a book called 9/11 and American Empire, Jews, Christians, and Muslims Speak Out. You can Google it up. You can buy it. It's a great book. We got contributions from some of our leading religious studies professors, some of our leading theologians, people like John Cobb, who is in the absolute first rank of intellectual theologians, a whole bunch of other folks around that level, including some pretty famous Jewish Americans. Rabbi Michael Lerner is one of them. He's since backpedaled a little bit on his 9/11 truth activism, perhaps because he took a whole lot of flack from certain folks in his flock. Anyway, well, when I co-edited that book, one of the contributions I solicited was from a guy named Enver Massoud. He's an engineer who has worked as a World Bank consultant. He's worked all over the place, actually. He's worked for the U.S. Department of Energy, USAID, and he's worked in Albania, Egypt, Ethiopia, Ghana, Indonesia, Latvia, Pakistan, Russia, and Tanzania. Yes. He's a founder and CEO of the Wisdom Fund, which is a think tank in the Washington, D.C. area. And he's a 9/11 truth teller, and we'll be hopefully talking with him when we get back after the break. So stick around right here on Truth Jihad Radio at republicbroadcasting.org.
Disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
If your body isn't feeling too well these days, you're gonna start taking this hemp, I say, go to hempusa.org. You may not like what I'm about to say, but you know I'm gonna say it anyway. The government doesn't want the best for you. They keep you down, they keep you blue. They starve your body for all its nutrients. They won't let you grow industrial hemp. It really doesn't make any kind of sense when it's so healthy for the world and useful for you, my friends. I hope Mr. Bush will hear this song, for the heart of America wants this one. Go to hempusa.org. If you're a truther, an anarchist, or renegade, you only want things that God has made. Go to hempusa.org. We offer free shipping anywhere in the States. Go to hempusa.org.
Karma's gonna get you. Gonna knock you right on the head.
You better get yourself together. Pretty soon you're gonna be dead.
We're back here at Troop Jihad Radio at republicbroadcasting.org. I'm Kevin Barrett, and I do have Enver Masood on the line. It's great to have you on. How are you doing, Enver?
Pretty good.
Yeah, so you just got back from a big trip to South Africa, and you know, looking at that report that you you made on your trip, I was really impressed at the kind of crowds you were drawing to your 9/11 truth lectures.
Yes, it was both exhilarating and exhausting.
I believe it. You know, I've done a little bit of lecture touring myself, but it looks like you were going a lot harder than I ever have. So you look at
well,
this.
I was very fortunate. I'd been there 5 years ago on another lecture tour, so a lot of the folks knew about me, so I got pretty good turnout.
Yeah, I'm looking here at your description. And let's see, you were in KwaZulu-Natal Town Hall in Stanger, November 13th, 200 people there. November 14th, you're in Durban, 600 people attended. Then the 15th, you're in Pietermaritzburg, 250 there. And back in Durban on the 16th, overflow crowd of over 600 to 700. And then again on the 17th, 600 more people in Port Shepstone. Whoa, that's a pretty crazy tour. The Rolling Stones could barely handle that.
Right, and what it doesn't tell you is on most of those nights after the talk, they would entertain me, which means we'd start dinner about 10:30, 11.
Oh, boy.
And finish up around midnight or later, and then head out to the next city early next morning. Sometimes as early as 4 o'clock next morning.
Well, I'm glad you made it home in one piece. And I really appreciate your work, because I think it's so important to let the world know that here in the USA, we realize that there are some serious problems with the official story of 9/11.
Yeah, my thinking was, you know, we need all the help we can get to raise the awareness of the story, and perhaps if outside media gives it more attention, ultimately our media may give it some attention.
And what kind of treatment did you get from the South African media?
Let's break it up into two. One is the Muslim media and the Muslim crowds. The other is non-Muslim. The Muslims, obviously, were the easier crowd to draw. No one disagreed with me. All they wanted was more answers, and they had more questions that I could answer. But, you know, I couldn't find anybody that disagreed with me among the Muslims.
I had that same problem in Morocco.
Yeah.
They said, we don't need to hear this. Go back to the USA and tell tell those crazy people.
There was one interesting incident. This is the guy, he's a Muslim, but he's the one of the top reporters for South Africa FM radio, and he usually covers sports. And he was very skeptical. And he, without some interest up there, we could not get it on South Africa FM, which is broadcast. It's a very popular program, goes out to the entire country. So what my hosts did, they invited him to one of my talks. And at the last minute, they handed him my resume and said, okay, you do the introduction. So the guy was forced to introduce me at the meeting. And he left that meeting with a very changed attitude. And then we got our...
Well, you have an impressive resume, Enver.
Well, see, SAFM was afraid to have us on board. They actually said, well, we've got to have an opposing view. So they invited the American embassy. And I knew all along they're not going to send anybody. And they waited 2 weeks. The embassy didn't send anybody. If we had gotten that interview 2 weeks earlier, we'd have had even bigger crowds.
Interesting. I'm not surprised that the embassy didn't deign to respond, because, you know, all they can do is mouth a few general platitudes. They're never going to take us up on the actual evidence, because
right.
They don't have much of a case.
Right. And there was one very interesting incident. This was in one of the townships from which perhaps Mandela came. And anyway, I understand many of the top leaders of the South Africa come from this township. I try to remember the name. But I was at that township on a radio station, and before I was done, there was a young man, and these were not Muslims. These are either animists or Christians or whatever. There was a young man that had come into the radio station, and when I finished up, he introduced himself. He said he had heard me on the South Africa FM radio station, and he recognized my voice immediately when I was on this. A township radio, which is one of the small, you know, the low-power broadcasts, and he wanted to meet me. And this is, you know, this is a non-Muslim. So even among non-Muslims, Africans, there's a lot of skepticism about what the way Americans have presented it. The only difference is the crowds were bigger among Muslims, because to get a venue, you could get something owned by Muslims for no cost, whereas if we had all tried to get some neutral venue, it's very expensive, and that was the problem.
I take it there's a pretty good-sized Muslim population in South Africa.
Well, percentage-wise, it's probably about like we have in this country.
Oh, really? Except, I thought it was more than that.
No, I understand it's not very large, but they're very active because, see, they were lumped along with the African as colored people. And so they fought alongside the Africans during that whole apartheid struggle and everything. So they're more used to activism. They're more open to criticism of the U.S. because, you know, the U.S. did not support them during that apartheid era. So they're just much, much more active.
Great. Well, yeah, I'm very, very impressed with the results of that tour and the fact that you were able to speak virtually every day, wasn't it?
I think I had one Sunday free towards the end.
That's a month of hard work.
Yeah, I was supposed to be there 2 weeks, but in the second week they said, well, we're getting more requests than we can fit in. Do you mind staying another week and going to Malawi also, which was not planned in the beginning? So... I went to Malawi also.
Very impressive. It looks like you spoke to a total of several thousand people.
It's hard to say, but of course I was on radio and TV, and now they have this video, one of the TV interviews that is being replayed frequently. And we've put it up on Google for your listeners to watch or download.
That's right. And let's see, I think people can find that either by going to my blog at 911blogger.com. That's probably the easiest way.
Yeah, that's whatever you think.
Or at the Wisdom Fund, twf.org.
Either way, it's titled, if you search for it on Google, it's very hard to find because there's hundreds of titles with similar titles, so you have to go to either your site or our site.
Okay, so either Mujka.com, M-U-J-C-A.com, or you can go to my blog, that's Kevin Barrett's blog at 911blogger.com, or the Wisdom Fund, twf.org. And maybe you could tell us a little bit and for how you started the Wisdom Fund and what the purposes of this organization are.
Well, the Wisdom Fund got started way back in 1995, so we're now more than 12 years old. And it started, I had started writing with the first Gulf War. I'm an engineer. I had no interest in writing, no interest in foreign affairs or politics. My interests were the normal American pastimes of wine, women, and song. and sports cars. But
that used to be my interest, too, before I came to Islam, minus the sports cars.
No, I had a love affair with British sports. I had a TR3, TR4, TR250. But anyway, getting back to your question, the first Gulf War, I was just watching this huge spectacle unfold on television. I had no particular insight or any particular interest in it. I mean, it's just the normal interest an American would have in this looming war. And they were talking about weapons of mass destruction. So being an engineer, I want to know what is a weapon of mass destruction. And if Iraq is accused of having them, what about its neighbors? What do they have? And that's when I discovered that Israel has nuclear weapons, 100 or more nuclear weapons, and they're not being talked about at all. And I was, I thought I was well-read. I listened to the news. I read magazines, newspapers. I thought I was reasonably well-informed, and I found out how ill-informed I was. And about that time, I met someone who was editing a small paper called Eastern Times. He encouraged me to write, and I sort of got my arm twisted, started writing, and one thing led to another. Finally, I thought, I've got to read that's beyond this audience, so I set up the website and the nonprofit corporation. That's kind of a long explanation with that.
Well, that makes sense to me. This was, again, at the time of the first Gulf War, around 1990.
I got started writing in 1995 and by 1991, and by 1995 set up the Wisdom Fund.
Great. And I imagine that your call to duty kind of got louder with the events of September 11th and these 9/11 wars that have followed.
Yes, and now I'm actually spending more time on 9/11 than the rest of the other issues that I've been covering.
Of course, they are all related. You've covered
they're all related.
The deceptions of U.S. foreign policy and things like the fact that Israel has, usually most sources say 300 to 400 or more nuclear weapons.
Yeah, they're very, I try to be conservative, so I don't take too many hits.
Right. But of course, we've been misinformed about all sorts of things, especially the situation in the Middle East for a long time. And so I guess working to expose the prevailing deceptions in that area would set you up in a pretty obvious way to deal with 9/11 truth. And we'll talk about how you woke up to that issue when we come back after the break.
Okay.
This is Kevin Barrett on Truth Jihad Radio right here at republicbroadcasting.org. I'm talking with Enver Massoud of the Wisdom Fund at TWF.org. We'll be right back.
Technology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I told you before, stay away from my dog. Don't give me that brother, 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 brother. The kids on the phone won't leave me alone. Don't give me that brother, 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 brother. No.
Welcome back. You know, I found out that 9/11 was an inside job about 2 years after it happened, and asked myself, what should I do about this? And decided I'd better do something. And so I started doing things, and one of the things I ended up doing a couple of years down the line was editing a book called 9/11 and the American Empire, Christians, Jews, and Muslims Speak Out. And while I was getting ready to round up some contributors for that book, I got an email from David Griffin, who was one of the inspirations behind that book. And he said, hey, there's this guy, Enver Massoud. Check him out. You definitely want to talk to this guy. Maybe, you know, see if he wants to write an essay. So I did, and discovered the Wisdom Fund, TWF.org. Enver, how did you figure out that 9/11 was not what we were told?
Well, you know, my first doubts, unlike you, I came to the realization much later of the overall thing being definitely involving inside folks. My initial skepticism was about specific aspects of the story we were told. I had not really looked at the bigger picture, and my first concern was about what we were being told about the Pentagon. Now, the Pentagon is a 15-minute walk from where I'm sitting right now, and I used to be able to look at it for before they built the high-rises in front of my condominiums. So when that happened, I forget how many days later, maybe the next year or two, 3 days later, I tried to see what was going on there. On the day it happened, everybody was running away from that area, and you couldn't get anywhere close. But then I thought I'd be able to get closer, but they had cordoned off everything. And my only view was from a little hillside that looks across the intervening Interstate 395 and looks across at the Pentagon. And you can see only the top three floors. You can't see the bottom floors. And, you know, my first question, where's the plane? I expected to see some wreckage there. I didn't think it had already been moved. And the other guys were beside me, and they had the same question, but we thought, well, maybe it's down there where we can't see it. And that was it. And I really didn't think much about it till a little some time later when I was looking at the Afghan war and the fact that the Taliban had been negotiating with UNOCAL for a gas pipeline. And then when that deal fell through and the Taliban decided to go with the Argentinian firm, Breeders Corporation, that's when we launched the war. And I learned that we were ready to attack Afghanistan even before 9/11. So that's, you know, really what's got me started.
And I think that should be something that should get a lot of people started when they notice that these wars were planned in advance of 9/11, and they couldn't possibly have happened without 9/11. It just that in itself already should get your thinking cap on.
Yeah, you know, when you look at the first Gulf War, the lies that were told that got us into that, and now this. You know, most Americans still don't know all the lies that were told about the first Gulf War. They understand pretty much what's been told about the second. But the first Gulf War was a little more complex. There were several lies that brought us into it. One was that Saddam Hussein spoke with April Glaspie, our ambassador in Iraq, about the Kuwaitis drilling under their border into Iraqi soil for oil. And April Glaspie, our ambassador, tells Saddam Hussein, well, you know, that's sort of, it's your internal matter. In other words, you know, it's between you two guys. You work it out. Meanwhile, they encourage the Kuwaitis to keep drilling. So they were wanting to start a fight. Next thing, there were some hearings on the Hill, Senator Lantos's committee, at which there was supposedly a young Kuwaiti refugee girl that testified about babies being thrown out of cribs in Kuwait as these Iraqi soldiers came in, and the cribs being taken back to Iraq. Well, that whole thing was a put-up job. I learned that that young woman, testimony was rehearsed with the public relations firm here in Washington, a big firm, Hill and Knowlton, and the girl was the Saudi ambassador's daughter.
The Kuwaiti ambassador's daughter, right?
Kuwaiti ambassador's daughter, you're right. I learned one other fact much later, and this was that in the Carter administration, Iraq had been promised they could have their province of Kuwait after their war with Iran. And this is not known very well. There was
that's pretty important background for April Glaspie's meeting with Saddam Hussein, where she said that we Americans take no interest in intra-Arab disputes.
Yeah,
meaning pretty much, go ahead, take Kuwait, see if we care.
Yeah, there was one other big lie, and that was the Saudis were told that the Iraqis are getting ready to invade Saudi Arabia, and they have satellite photos showing hundreds of thousands of troops and thousands of tanks on the Saudi border. It turns out that was a big lie because a newspaper in Florida, the Petersburg Journal, Petersburg something or the other, they got hold of satellite photos from the Soviets, I believe, and there were none of that. So there were at least four major lies that got us into that war.
Right. And that is pretty much standard operating procedure. The first casualty of war is truth. And we'll be back with some more truth after the break. This is Kevin Barrett talking with Enver Masood. Stick around.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Yeah.
disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
There are many types of storable foods, but how about a superfood that contains every nutrient that the human body needs for survival? 50% protein, 300 milligrams of potassium per ounce, and calcium and magnesium for your heart and bones, with many more nutrients found in this incredible food source that the government does not want you to have. This product is available in powder, seeds, and oil, and is shipped free to your door in the U.S. This product is illegal to grow in the U.S., but is legal to import. Don't waste time thinking about storing food. Plan ahead and prepare for yourself and your family now, and be in control of your destiny. You can save and invest your money, but in the end, food will be your greatest asset. Remember what the Word of God says in Ezekiel 7:19. Call 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Remember, food will be your greatest asset. Call 908-691-2608. This product does not contain THC. Call 908-691-2608 today.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials. Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
There's matches in the bathroom just below the stairs.
Welcome back. You're listening to Truth Jihad Radio right here on republicbroadcasting.org. I'm Kevin Barrett, doing the show every Saturday night, and my guest tonight is Enver Masood. He is with the Wisdom Fund, a nonprofit corporation that is putting out accurate information to counter some of the lies that we've been pumped up with. And we're talking now about the lies that preceded Gulf War One. And, you know, Enver, I remember that run-up to that war and that war very well. I was on to some of these lies, the ones that were obvious at the time, such as that this was not about defending poor democratic little Kuwait against this evil, vicious neighbor, and so on and so forth. And I was horrified by the way this war developed at the time. We were out marching in San Francisco. We shut down the Bay Bridge on the day that war started, just completely shut it down, and you know, there was no business as usual in San Francisco that day. But it was really depressing to see the way the country as a whole swallowed all these lies. And I think the emotional quality of that appeal to the, you know, the save the poor Kuwaitis from these baby incubator trashing Iraqis was a lot of the reason that the American people were bamboozled. And as with 9/11, when you get sold this kind of emotionally compelling sort of image, it's very, very hard to think rationally.
Yeah, and see, what more of us need to know is our own history. You know, when Iraq invaded Kuwait, if I have the numbers correct, there were like 300-400 people killed, you know, which is a large amount of people killed. But I think it was a couple of years before that, we invaded Panama to grab one person, Noriega, and bring him to trial. You know, a total violation of international law. And in the process, we killed several thousand people to get one person.
And you know why we were after Noriega, don't you? It was
He was
blowing the whistle on the drug games he was playing with the Bush crime family, the CIA drug mob. And this is one that I hadn't heard before, but I just learned this recently from John Perkins, the author of Confessions of an Economic Hitman. He's actually going to be on the radio with me in the near future, and people can find that schedule at mujca.com. And anyway, John Perkins, in his new book, The Secret History of the American Empire, points out, or at least he claims, that he got inside information from one of his many acquaintances in the CIA kind of world, that one of the prime motivations for taking out Noriega was that Noriega had rigged up this kind of drug and prostitution facility in the Caribbean near Panama with cameras, and he had filmed George W. Bush disporting himself in a repugnant way with drugs and some kind of presumably underage sex, and he filmed all that.
Bush Sr.?
Bush Jr. had been caught on film doing this. Our current president.
Wow.
Indeed.
No, I hadn't heard that.
I hadn't either, and I hope to bring that up when I have John Perkins on the show.
What Perkins has to say about that?
Yeah. Perkins he's got quite a few interesting inside pieces of information.
You know, Perkins and I are somewhat related fields. We're both management consultants working overseas. And,
right. Oh, you were never a hitman, though, were you?
No. I learned what the real game was early on, that the game wasn't to help those countries, but to bring business back home for American companies. Most consultants really don't see the big picture. They go there with the best of intentions to help some poor undeveloped country, and then they get sucked into the system, and by the time they realize what they're doing, it's kind of late because all their eggs are in one basket. They can't afford to blow the whistle and retire, so they're sort of stuck.
Right, and I would hope that some of those people would get some pangs of conscience that would lead them to blow some whistles, especially when things get as bad as they've been getting recently.
Yeah, just today in the Washington Post, there was an article about the Green Zone, and how the first arrival Americans there in the Green Zone were all gung-ho. They're going to liberate the folks, democratize the country, etc. And now they're just trying to pass time to get home. And, you know, it's just a drudge one day after another because they see what's really going on.
And let's hope they get home soon before it's any worse over there than it already is. It's hard to imagine how much worse it could be, you know. And I recently saw an estimate. This was put out by a physician, I'm forgetting his name right now, but he went over the statistics of excess mortality in Iraq, and he comes up with a number of more than 8 million Iraqis have died as a result of U.S. and British intervention since the 1950s.
Well, that's possible. I understand Johns Hopkins study shows about 1 million.
In this current war.
Right. And we know 500,000 children died between the two Gulf Wars, and then there were a couple of 100,000 Iraqi soldiers that were incinerated when they were withdrawing and attempting to negotiate their withdrawal.
Right. That was one of the most insane war crimes in history, and yet the American media completely gave Bush the Elder a pass on that.
Yeah. So, I can believe those numbers. Even British and Americans have been pretty well having an open season on that part of the world.
Right. Of course, Saddam Hussein was originally recruited by the CIA, and the word is, although I don't have this on academic references, that he was recruited as a hitman for the CIA, and that's how he won his stripes and ended up getting into power.
I recall something like that, that they were trying to assassinate the current ruler back then. I forget the details, but you're probably right about that.
Right, those kind of interventions are so harmful to the countries involved and to the people in those countries. And that's where when you add up all of the people directly killed and those who die as a result of economic devastation due to these kinds of interventions, you end up with a really outrageous number of people who are being murdered by U.S. military and CIA interventions.
Yeah, so it's easy to understand why so much of the world doesn't think so highly of us. We pretty well treated South America as our backyard where we did what we wanted for years, and those guys don't think very highly of us.
They're actually moving away from the American orbit overall right now. There are a whole lot of these kind of populist anti-American movements coming to power in South America.
Yeah.
And that's another thing I hope to talk about with John Perkins, who's kind of a South America specialist.
Yeah, I gather from his book he's been to a number of those countries. And I read his first book, the Hitman book.
Yes, it's a fascinating book. And when you were a consultant, what kinds of issues were you consulting about?
He and I were doing very similar things, but at a different level. I was working only in the power sector, electric power sector. And I dealt from the top levels down to the engineer level in that sector. He was working across all sectors, bringing in business for his firm. And so he was dealing mainly with the top levels in many sectors. So that's the major difference.
Mm-hmm.
And so he would have gotten involved in a broader range of issues, and I got involved in depth with issues regarding the power sector.
And you were mostly focusing on the technical side of the power issues?
Well, I do the planning, the management, the regulation of the industry. I don't really do nuts and bolts engineering other than computer simulations and things of the entire sector. So those are engineering economic simulations. You carry them out for years into the future to assess the best options for the present.
Interesting. You know, John Perkins, of course, is famous for talking about how he was often sent to lean on leadership in these countries to force them to borrow large amounts of money to finance these projects with the intention that these countries would never be able to pay back their loans.
Right, so they stay under our thumb.
Right. Did you notice that sort of thing was going on with the projects that you were involved with?
What I saw was that we were quite willing to push expensive projects on these guys and not do the simple things that would really uplift their country. Let me give you an example. In the power sector in Pakistan, when I was there, they were pushing some generators that would be run from the cow dung, and you had to have a certain number of cows to have enough dung to run these generators. Well, those generators ended up with the tribal chiefs, who frequently didn't have enough cows or had no cows. But the USAID folks didn't care because they got their quid pro quo, whatever it was they wanted. In the meantime, in the ministry that I was working in, those guys wanted just some subscriptions to magazines, technical magazines, journals, so they can stay up to date. And that's a fraction of the cost, but we couldn't get those through.
Right. The whole point of pushing the expensive stuff, at least in the Perkins version of things, is to build up debt. And of course, we do have a debt based system.
Bringing business for American corporations.
Right. And of course, that business will increase if these countries become indebted and forced to sell off their resources and sell off whatever we ask them for. Apparently,
yeah.
Looks like we have some callers on the line, and I guess the first caller here is Byron from Canada. How's it going, Byron?
Hey, great, great. Good show tonight, as usual. Hey, I just want to tell your guests, it wasn't too long after the first Gulf War, I phoned the Kuwaiti embassy, and I asked them, I said, how many people were killed? Because you'd brought up there was, I forget, several hundred, you said. And I said, how many Kuwaitis were killed before the United States moved in there to start the war you know, before the United States got in there, because I think Iraq was in there about 6 months before the war actually started. And this is right out of the Kuwaiti embassy. They said about 40 Kuwaitis were killed.
That's even smaller than the number.
Yeah, now there was more killed later, and I think there was quite a few, and you were talking about it, what they called the highway of death. We met when the Iraqis were leaving. I think they did take some Kuwaitis prisoners, maybe for swapping later on. I don't know. And I guess you could say, well, it wasn't right of the Iraqis to do that.
Yeah, the number I had was for the total number of Kuwaitis killed, not those that were killed prior to our getting there.
Yeah. Well, you're probably not too far off, but I would, when the United States went in the second time, they found a few bodies, supposedly, of the Kuwaitis. But I phoned the embassy one time, and I said, well, I said, if you want to know where the rest of your Kuwaitis bodies are, I said, you'll probably have to go on that highway and scrape them off the road. Because from what I understand, the United States just absolutely incinerated everything. I mean, there was even pictures that they used napalm and everything else on those people that was leaving
Iraq. Sounds like Anamad all over again.
And that's not really how you're supposed to treat surrendering enemy forces, according to the Geneva Conventions, as I understand it.
Yeah. Hey, and I hope I missed part of your show. Does your guest think that the Israelis, does he think they were involved with 9/11?
Well, what do you think, Enver?
I have stayed away from coming up with a theory, an alternate theory, because A, I don't have all the facts. B, I don't have the resources to get to all the facts. Now, what I do is say, look, okay, let's do what an investigative does. Look at who had the motive, means, and opportunity. Now, so there are enough Muslims that had the motives for getting back at us. That's true. There are perhaps other enemies we have. And then we had motives because, you know, that new Pearl Harbor we wanted so we could get out to the Middle East. So there were a lot of parties with motives. But the next question is, who had the means and opportunity? Now, when you look at what happened to Building 7 of the World Trade Center, who had the means to wire up that building for demolition? That's the only way that building could have come down. And then who had the opportunity to get in there to do the wiring?
Well, you're not wanting to say it, but everything you said points to one place and one group, and that's the Israelis.
Well, if in an investigation you think of, what do they call them, persons of interest, or I don't think they use the term suspects anymore, at least in the U.S., they would certainly be persons of interest if I was doing an investigation. And so our vice president.
Do you ever watch or look at the Rents website?
At which website?
Rents, R-E-N-S-E.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see there was a thing, and it kind of refreshed my memory, because I'm I took an interest right from day one, and I think every article that was ever written and on the Internet, I think I photocopied it. And I had a stack that was probably close to a foot and a half, 2 foot tall. And unfortunately, my wife is too good of a house cleaner. And one day when I wasn't around, she got rid of a lot of that stuff. But anyhow, there's a video on Rents, and it's called Lest We Forget, Suppressed Fox Report on 9/11, Israelis, and it's a video. And the one thing that...
That was on Fox or MSNBC?
Fox, yeah.
Fox.
Yeah, that was in, I think, December of 2001.
It happened right after it was Cameron came out, then it only was on for a couple
Cameron,
days, and it's gone.
Yeah, that name rings a bell. Yeah, but I have those articles.
Yeah, well, you ought to take a look at this. This here was just put back on Rents, and if you want to refresh your memory on it, and it's nothing like, you know, ordinary Joe Blow's offering opinion. This is the news media that was, you know, showing. But there's one thing that I heard about it not too long ago, actually, but they said there was a truck that was loaded, and then there's a film on this. Dan Rathers brought it up, and he said there was a truck that was loaded. There was a van that was loaded with explosives headed to one of the bridges. And then I had read another report where there possibly could have been two of those trucks. And guess who? Now, Dan Rathers doesn't come out and say it was Israelis or Jews, but guess who was in those trucks?
Yeah, you're probably right about all that. As a management consultant, I try to say, well, what is my goal? My goal has been to discredit the official report. So I try to bring in enough facts that'll do that, and enough facts that are hard to question. And by bringing in any further things that are questionable, or you become a target, and then that discredits your own report. So as a management consultant, I've had to prepare many, many reports and give executive summaries, and I keep that focus in mind all the time. Just do enough to discredit the official report, because if that becomes widely discredited, then these other steps that you're talking about would follow.
I think that's a good point. I think we can agree that perhaps some people with motivations from the Zionist side would indeed be people of interest in a real 9/11 investigation, as would, of course, the vice president. We'll be right back here on republicbroadcasting.org with Enver Massoud. So stick around.
Infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
It's Christmas time, the season for giving. How would you like to save money on Christmas gifts this year and make money while doing it? Then Power Mall Global is here for you. Power Mall Global is unique. It's not an MLM and not an affiliate program. All you have to do is shop in any one of the 1,000 plus stores, including Sears, OfficeMax, Home Depot, Bed Bath & Beyond, JCPenney, Old Navy, and much, much more on www.powermallglobal.com and surprise your family with the perfect gifts. You'll be surprised on how much you save and get back in rebate checks for a percentage of your purchase. Power Mall Global is absolutely free to use. There's no cost to you, ever. Think of all the traffic and clutter the Christmas holiday brings. Think of the times the stores were out of that certain item that was perfect for your loved ones. Not going to happen anymore. It's very simple. Stay in the comfort of your own home. Click through 1,000 stores. Buy and save on what you want for the Christmas holiday and earn money while doing it. Go to www.powermallglobal.com and check out the millions of products that could be the perfect gift for you. That's www.powermallglobal.com.
To republicbroadcasting.org. I'm Kevin Barrett doing Truth Jihad Radio. And my guest is Enver Massoud. We still have Byron on the line. Did you have any more comments, Byron, or should we move on to the next caller?
No, Kevin, I'll be really quick.
Are you still there?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah. Hey, there was just one other thing, and thank you for giving me this little bit of time. And ask your guests and yourself on anniewar.com. That's that and the rents are about the two main websites that I check out every day. There's a report that came out called Evidence of Israel's Cowardly Blending Comes to Light. Did you read that, Kevin?
No, I didn't.
Well, it's on anniewar.com, and you ought to read it. And I don't mean to be changing your subject because it still got the same characters involved. And it's a leading human rights group, and I think they're from Israel, but it's one that kind of looks after the Arab minority. And you ought to read the report that they unearthed in their gathering of evidence against the Lebanese Israeli war. I won't go into it, but if you want to just go to anniewar and look at it during a commercial. I tell you what, it'll absolutely knock the socks off you when you read that, what they said.
Okay,
the Hezbollah ain't nearly as bad as what the media has made them out to be. And thank you so very much for your time, and I appreciate your show a lot.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it, Byron. And, yeah, I do like antiwar.com. It's a very good site. Okay, next caller is Joe from Florida. Come in, Joe.
Hi, Kevin. I'm in awe. I just read your article, Twilight of the Psychopaths, and I tell you, Thomas Paine, Common Sense has nothing on you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
Wonderful.
Very kind of you.
I wish you should read it on air. I mean, it touched me. I'm blown away. It was outstanding. And I tell you, it's going to go viral. I just found it on Truth News. And believe me, it'll be on rent soon, and it's just the most wonderful thing I've read. I mean, you just summed it all up. You've got these guys down. It's just unbelievable.
Well, thanks, Joe. I appreciate it. You know, of course, it wasn't really an original idea of mine. This there's that book, Political Ponerology, that makes an argument that what we're seeing in these kinds of crazy political times that we're having now is people who are clinical psychopaths, people with no empathy for other people at all, kind of almost a built-in physical trait practically. Those kind of people who they always rise at the top of power hierarchies, but it gets out of control in situations like Hitler's Germany, Stalin's Russia, and today's U.S. of A. So that's I kind of mostly got that idea from Loba Suski's Political Ponerology, which is a highly recommended book, and people can Google that up at P-O-N-E-R, Poner, and then O-L-O-G-Y, ology, Ponerology.
Well, it's nice of you to spread the help, you know, where you got it from, but I got to tell you, you just summed it all up very concisely. I mean, my printer, I haven't bought ink for it because it's expensive, but I'm going to go buy some ink, and I'm going to make a ton of copies of this, and I'm going to hand it out at my church group and at my current events group, because I think that you sum up what's going on better than I've heard anybody do it, including Alan Watt or Alex Jones. Or it's just so concise, well written, and it just hits the nail on the head. You're dead on.
Well, appreciate
Wonderful.
It, Joe.
Thank you.
Glad you liked it, and keep spreading it around. Okay, well, we'll be back with another hour of talk with my guest, Enver Masood. He's with the Wisdom Fund, which is TWF.org. He's also a contributor to 9/11 and the American Empire. Christians, Jews, and Muslims speak out. And we shall return, so stick around.
Since 19... 19-